Good morning, Symphony Church. We are continuing in the Gospel of Luke, and today we'll be reading through Luke chapter 19. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, therefore, "A nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, 'Engage in business until I come.' But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, 'We do not want this man to reign over us.' When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came before him, saying, 'Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more.' And he said to him, 'Well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities.' And the second came, saying, 'Lord, your mina has made 5 minas.' And he said to him, 'And you are to be over 5 cities.' Then another came, saying, 'Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow.' He said to him, 'I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest?' And he said to those who stood by, 'Take the mina from him, and give it to the one who has the 10 minas.' And they said to him, 'Lord, he has 10 minas.' I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me.' And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, 'Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say this: the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.' And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, 'Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that would make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side, and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation.' And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, 'It is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. Amen. So, in our passage today, we see Jesus finally arriving in Jerusalem. We're given Luke's account of the triumphal entry with Jesus riding in on a colt, and this sort of marks the last arc of the gospel account for us. However, before this, we're given a really important parable, the parable of the 10 minas. This is also one of the more puzzling parables, isn't it? But it's worth unpacking for us to understand the expectation laid out for us as disciples. By the way, don't make the mistake that I did for a long time and think that this is the same as the parable of the talents in Matthew. A similar parables, but different and unique in their own respective ways. All right, so the essence of the parable of the 10 minas is given to us directly by Jesus, actually. He says in his teaching, "To everyone who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And I think a lot of the confusion regarding the parable of the 10 minas comes from us focusing on the has and has not, and taking that to mean that we'll be evaluated based on something quantifiable. After all, in the parable, the servant who had 10 minas is considered the best, right? So whatever the minas represents, we need to have more of it. It's all about what we have. But actually, I think it does us much better to focus not on the minas, but on the servants. You see, the motivation of this parable is also given to us by Luke, who tells us that Jesus taught this parable in response to those who supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. Jesus knew that once he died on the cross and was raised up from the dead, there would be a time where he departed from earth until the appointed time when he returned. And because of this, it's important that his followers remained faithful until his return. And so the focus of the parable of the minas that Jesus tells is not the minas, the results, the works, the fruit themselves, but rather the faithfulness of the servants that led to the minas growing. After all 10 of the servants received the same amount of minas, one minas each. They all had the same amount, but they differed in their levels of faithfulness. One was faithful in his diligence towards his master's wishes and increased his one minas to 10. One increased his one minas to 5. But the servant who lacked faithfulness to his master did nothing and was punished accordingly. And through this parable, Jesus is teaching his followers that faithfulness, which leads to fruit, is key. We are all given our mina, so to speak. We are all given an opportunity in this life to demonstrate our faithfulness to God and to be transformed by the gospel and live our lives for the sake of his name. An example of someone whose heart mirrors the faithful servant is Zacchaeus, who we are introduced to directly before the parable of the minas. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, which meant that he likely had a reputation for being rich off of other people's debt. But he sought out Jesus upon hearing that he is in town, and he was even willing to humiliate himself by climbing into a tree to be able to see him. Jesus then extends an invitation to Zacchaeus. On the surface, a simple request of hospitality, but really, the offer of relationship with him. And this is not lost on Zacchaeus. He immediately declares that half of his wealth will be given to the poor, and that anyone who he had defrauded, he will restore 4 times over. Zacchaeus, upon being offered this opportunity to know Jesus and follow him, immediately demonstrates faithfulness. He immediately grows the mina entrusted to him by his act of obedience and faith. For you and me today, dear brother, dear sister, I guarantee you we will have opportunities like Zacchaeus. Opportunities to grow this mina entrusted to us by the Lord, this opportunity to show our faith. And so how will you demonstrate your faithfulness? How will you demonstrate that you love Jesus with all your heart and that you're living for him? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this gift of grace that you have given us and this invitation to know you and to follow you. That is our Mina, Lord. That is what you have given to us to grow. And I pray that we can grow in our faith, that we can be faithful to you and to what you call us to do. Lord, help us to answer the call. Help us to take that opportunity, to not shy away from opportunities to grow our faith. Lord, whatever that looks like for each of us, would you be with us? Would you give us strength and clarity and wisdom to make the decisions that will grow our faith? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.